down near a shop on the sidewalk, make it illegal to peacefully ask for a dime after dark, make it illegal to set up a political table in front of a cafe, and also make it illegal to essentially criminalize homeless demonstrations at night that involve any kind of structure. That was the recent case where people had a structure that wasn't blocking the sidewalk. A little box was... It was found it's okay to restrict people's First Amendment rights as long as they're homeless people at night doing that kind of a demonstration, or I suppose anybody at night. It affects anybody at night doing a demonstration, but has only been applied to the Florey Jacobs vigils. These are two homeless activists. Anyway, Coonerty was behind these laws, a major voice and force behind these laws, and he decided that a number of us, even before we began boycotting the bookshop Santa Cruz, which incidentally I'm still boycotting, and I encourage people to boycott and to tell him they boycott. Don't go into the bookshop Santa Cruz. Walk into the bookshop Santa Cruz and say, is your management still supporting the anti-homeless laws? And if you are, I'm not going to shop here. And I like your bookshop, and I wish I could shop here, and please change your mind so I can come back and shop here. I mean, that's the way to do a boycott. It's not to drive this man out of business or take away business from the downtown, or frankly, I'd rather support him than Barnes and Nobles, which I understand is coming in across nearby. I don't know if that's just a rumor. I keep hearing that rumor. But, you know, when an individual makes a choice like he's made, which has not only been to support anti-homeless laws, but has also been to bar people from his bookshop for having a different opinion, there are plenty of people he's barred that don't support the boycott that I propose, but that who have protested publicly about and in front of the bookshop regarding the downtown ordinances, I feel it's appropriate mostly because of the existence of these ordinances and the harassment of homeless people that some message be sent to the Downtown Business Association, the downtown merchants, that this is one way to do it. But anyway, in a certain sense, you can argue that Neil Coonerty has the right to let anybody into his shop he wants. If he doesn't want people in his shop, for whatever reason, he has a right to bar them. Although, it's also true that if you, in a place normally open to the public, you start excluding a class of people, that can be a violation under the UNRRA Civil Rights Act. So, for instance, you can't say, well, anybody can come in except black people. You know, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. Well, that's a bunch of crap, and they can't do that. They can't do that with disabled people. They can't do that with a recognizable class of people. So, and there are even questions as to whether they can do that with individuals simply because they have opinions they don't like. This issue came up at the homeless campground 2-3 years ago, and Karen Gillette tried to bar me because she didn't want me to give away flyers out there, a policy that has now changed, by the way. And because it was open to the public, attorneys I spoke to felt I had a right to be there, and I continued to contest it, and they didn't fight it. But the question is Marty Wormhout's meetings at Neil Coonerty's bookshop. Marty Wormhout is a public official. Marty Wormhout is a supervisor. She has an obligation to her public to have meetings which are accessible by all members of the public. Now, Neil Coonerty has decided there are some members of the public he does not want in his bookshop, and he feels so strongly about this that he has threatened to arrest us for trespass if we go into his bookshop, even to attend the Marty Wormhout supervisor agenda meeting, which happens 5 o'clock on Mondays, although I understand next Monday there's not going to be such a meeting because there's no supervisor meeting next Tuesday, is what I'm told. Now, the question is, why is Marty Wormhout holding a meeting in the bookshop Santa Cruz on private property that is restricted to other people when she could be holding it elsewhere? Well, she's told me, or I've heard through her aide, that, well, they're trying to work it out with Neil. He's kind of intransigent and so forth and so on. But this has gone on for 5 months. That is to say, she has done this for 5 months. Now, she's been aware of my concerns for about a month. And I'm hoping to hear from her aide today that they are changing this policy and moving their meeting, or better, that Neil Coonerty has decided to allow people to at least go into the bookshop Santa Cruz to attend this public meeting at that time. But I suspect he feels so strongly in his hostility to me and other activists, he will not allow this to happen. I also understand the bookshop has been getting some bomb threats or something, which is unfortunate. So, you know, they, you might say the emotional climate is not right. But human rights can't wait on an emotional climate. You know, there may be a Oklahoma City federal building may have been bombed. That's no reason to suspend the Constitution and to pass an anti-terrorism law nationally, which is what's being considered now, and to start harassing anybody who expresses an angry point of view on the radio, much as you may find it distasteful. So similarly here in Santa Cruz, Marty Wormhout, the supervisor, has a responsibility to the public to make sure that her meetings are equally accessible to all. Now, it should be said that she has offered us an opportunity to meet with her at another time in another place, but this separate but equal stuff didn't go with the blacks in the restrooms in the 1890s and the early 1900s. That doesn't go for me, really. I mean, it's very nice of her to offer this, but really what's needed is access to the same public meeting that everybody else goes to, and that's what I'm pushing for. So if you're interested in more information about this, or you want to comment on any of this, or anything you've heard today, you should give me a call at 423-HUFF, or 423-4833. I'm Bathrobes P.O. Robert. You're listening to Bathrobes P.O. Robert's Broadsides, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, on your radio dial. We hope you can hear us, and we've got a new transmitter thingy here, which looks all nice and neat and yummy, and looks like it works, and I'm hoping it's working. And I'm reading you a list of what's coming up. I got a whole bunch of, here's the schedule for the next week or two on items that have been brought to my attention. There's a homeless garden shindig on Saturday, tomorrow, May 13th from 12 to 1:30. Now, the Homeless Garden Project is another baby of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and I don't want a bad mouth it, and I don't want a good mouth it. I mean, it can stand on its own, and I was informed that they are having this kind of homeless wishing well shindig from 12 to 1:30 around the area where the Asian Rose and the old Bookshop Santa Cruz tent is, if you folks remember that. That's where it's in a kind of a courtyard where the Cafe Royale is on Pacific Avenue. You go a little bit beyond that, and you come into a courtyard area, and that's where the Asian Rose is. You go through that courtyard, come to a parking lot where the big tree is that was recently pruned. Some say mutilated, others say pruned. And that's happening 12 to 1:30. It's Homeless Wishing Well, and the outreach worker for the CCH has invited anybody who has information like bicyclist rights or people concerned about other public issues, police abuse, homeless issues, and they can come and give out their literature. Food Not Bombs, for instance, which, by the way, I would like to put in a plug for, Food Not Bombs. If you're interested in serving free food to help homeless people, if you're interested in cooking, cleaning vegetables, picking up vegetables, donating food, serving food, you can give a call to 425-3345. They meet once a week. They feed four or five times a week. Their next meal is Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock at River and Josephine Streets. And so come on down and give a call to them. Anyway, there's also a hearing coming up for Lighthouse Linda LeMaster. Linda LeMaster is an activist of many, many decades, actually. Well, at least two decades standing here in Santa Cruz. She heads the Local Housing Now chapter. She's a member of HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. She was president or chairperson of the Welfare Parents Support Group for a long time. She's a tireless worker for the rights of poor people and poor parents. And she's often been homeless. And she recently, I don't know how recently it was, but she faces a series of tickets that she got, which she couldn't pay for, having to do with insurance on her car, before the notorious, I don't want to call him a judge, although that's what you'd call him informally. He's a referee, but he's a little lower than a judge, kind of a mini judge or a wannabe judge. His name is John Mulligan. I call him Meat Grinder Mulligan. His courtroom is in the basement of the county building, and he is notorious among many of us for not informing people of their basic trial rights, for essentially churning out fines for the county. That's what he does. And Linda faces a jail threat. May 16th, Tuesday at 1:30, is her hearing for failure to pay. May 16th, that's next Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. in Mulligan's court, she will be going in and facing John Mulligan, who has told her she cannot do community service, but she has to either pay some $500 or $40 a month, which she can't afford to do, or go to jail. And she will, may at that time choose to go to jail. And if people want to attend her hearing, they can do that, or they can give me a call for more information at 423-4833 or 423-HUFF, which incidentally is also the number I will repeat. In case you want to go on the air here at this radio station, I can put you in touch with the appropriate people to do that. In fact, there's Linda LeMaster right now. She's just handed me a flyer. I speak of the devil and she appears. Linda, you want to come in for a minute and tell us what's happening with your case on Tuesday?
I'm no devil.
I don't know about that. What's happening on Tuesday with your case?
I don't know what's happening because Mulligan is my judge, so-called. He's not a real judge, but he keeps changing the rules as you go along. But I have to go face him, and I hope I don't have to do it alone.
So should people give you a call if they want to support you? Can I give out your number here over the air?
Yes, my number is listed under Lee Master, and it's 426-7701. If you get Dion or anybody else in the house, make them write a message if I'm not there.
Dion is your son, right?
Usually.
Now, you handed me a flyer, Moms on the March. Maybe you'd like to say something about this. This is happening Saturday, tomorrow, at 1 p.m.
Tomorrow. Meet us at the courthouse, Santa Cruz County Courthouse at 701 Ocean Street at 1 tomorrow. And walk with us to the town clock via Pacific and downtown. And at 2, there'll be a big rally. And we need mothers and grandmothers and children and their friends. This march has to do with, in part, protesting the state and federal welfare cuts and what they're calling reform proposals, which are not reform, but butchery to families, more family butchery.
Okay, so, and if they want more information, they can call you at 426-7701?
Yes, or call Helen at 458-9070.
That's a welfare, that's actually Hungry Women United, right, the group?
That's the phone number for Welfare Parent Support Group, but you can seek out Hungry Women through that number or my number also, 426-7701. 458-9070.
Now, Linda, you recently went to Sacramento, as I understand, to a... Do you want to talk about that, or is this the wrong time to grill you on this?
I can talk for a minute or so.
Okay, if you want, there's a stool you can sit on, or something like that. You went to Sacramento to talk about... Well, you were sent by the Above the Line Community Coalition, which I understand you're on my Civil Rights Subcommittee, so I know you're there, you're working there with me on that, on issues around that. What happened in Sacramento that's worth talking about, or possibly you might want to give a report to the public on what's happening with on the Civil Rights Subcommittee of Above the Line Community Coalition?
Well, at least a few words about the new Above the Line Community Coalition. Above the Line is a collection of people from different backgrounds in our community who are concerned about how poorly homeless people are being treated. Right now they have a goal of helping young people, youth, get off the street and find something better to do or be, or at least some safety. And they're concerned about the back 40, or the so-called open campground, and that's what the mayor calls open campsite. And hopefully the number of things that coalition can help will expand. And as you know, Robert, the Civil Rights Subcommittee of Above the Line is concerned with educating people in the community about how systematically and thoroughly homeless people are cheated out of or deprived of ordinary rights and dignities that the rest of us have. Maybe you should expand on that, but that's my feeling.
Okay. Well, is there anything you would like to talk about? I mean, we're hoping that you will have your own show here, Linda, and you can, of course, feel free to sign up right there if you want to do a show. And again, if anybody is listening who's interested in doing a show, you should give me a call. Now, I'm not an official rep, as I said, of the station, but I will pass on the word and give you information. 423-4833, and that's also the number to call if you have any reactions, positive, negative, or otherwise, to this particular show and what I'm saying. And if you have any suggestions as to stuff you think I should put on the air, if you have any, if I'm talking too close to the mic and the whole thing was blurred out, please tell me. Next time I'll try and do a better job and try and clarify that. Go ahead, Linda. You want to say something?
Robert, have you told the people listening about the need for letters for vehicular camping, as limited as the proposal is?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Although I don't know if I have the address handy here of the City Hall. The Civil Rights Subcommittee is concerned about the fact that you heard about the sleeping bans, you know, go to sleep after 11 o'clock at night anywhere except in your own home or in a domicile, somebody's home. Or if you're one of the 80 to 100 people who are at the River Street open-air shelter area, then you face a $168 fine, sleeping ban. Well, the City Council has been kind of making occasional grunts and noises that it's perhaps interested in allowing people in their vehicles some place to park and sleep at night. Actually, not even some place. They wanted to give private churches the right to allow a small number of vehicles. Right now, the word is number is three, I understand, up to three vehicles, to the right to sleep, to park on the property and sleep there with the permission of the church. Now, one would think this would be elementary and people could do it anyway, but not in Santa Cruz. This is one of those towns where it is illegal to do that, even with the permission of the church. And this has been stalled since December, I think, when it was mentioned in the Good Times and possibly in the Sentinel. When I heard about it from Catherine Byers, the mayor, and I think council member Kennedy mentioned something about it, and Mike Rotkin said something too. But they haven't done anything, and nor has our most liberal council member, Celia Saylittle Scott, who is apparently she's blending in with the scenery there at the City Council, and it's kind of too bad, because we're hoping that what we need is a voice that leads. Even if you don't get where you want to go immediately, the moral imperative, I think, is very important. But Linda LeMaster suggested, and I think our Civil Rights Subcommittee is recommending to the whole Above the Line Community Coalition and to the whole community of Santa Cruz, that we tell the City Council to get off its butt through phone calls and through letters and pass the vehicular camping exemption, which allows the churches, you know, to have people to sleep in cars on their own property. I mean, it's an elementary kind of thing. It's actually not going to really do that much, but certainly it's a beginning. The number to call, if you want to call City Council and let them know, they have a hotline. You can just leave a message saying, please pass the vehicular camping law and call me back and let me know what's going on. Their number is 429-3550. And as far as writing a letter goes, they'll give you, if you call them during business hours, you'll get a live person. If you call them after that, you'll get a tape recording and you'll be able to leave a message. So that's the thing to do there. That's the vehicular camping law, which I think, again, is a minor thing, but you know, if a council starts to hear from people, they may actually move. I mean, you have a 6-to-1 so-called progressive majority on that council, and one wonders why they can't get it together to do something. Continuing with this list of Linda, do you want to say something else on the subject or any other while you're here?
Well, I just disagree with the last thing you said. I don't think it's a minor issue. It's sort of a separation of church and state powers to me. You know, if a church program and its congregation wanted to put up a family, or even two or three, it doesn't seem to me it should be of concern to the city or the state or the federal government, but it's forbidden here. So while it will only help a few people, I think the issue is an important one. It'll open a door.
Yeah, sure, that's true. I'm just concerned about the issue as far as numbers of people, and it'll affect a minuscule number of people as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, you're right, it is an important issue. Sure. Oh, thank you. Talk to you in about half an hour when I get off the air. What's that happening? Well, I told you about the Homeless Garden Shindig, 12 to 1:30, Saturday, May 13th, at near the Asian Rose, a homeless wishing well that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is throwing. Then there's a Linda LeMaster's hearing before Meat Grinder Mulligan, May 16th, Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. in the courts. That's in the basement of the county building, Mulligan's Court. Then there's my trial is actually coming up, although we're hoping to postpone it, and you should give me a call to make sure that this date is current. But we have a court date at 10 a.m., May 19th. Myself, Skidmark Bob Duran, and Main Street Mark Peterson. We're all due to show up before Judge Artichoke Hart Attic, who is going to be trying us for sleeping. Yes, we were sleeping. We actually weren't even sleeping. We were covering up with blankets. We weren't even covering up with blankets. We put down one sleeping bag each on the sidewalk in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. And at 11:01, there came those men in blue. I think there was a woman, too, who took us away, jailed us, gave us tickets, and are now attempting to try us. Now, this has cost several thousand dollars apiece, I'm sure. And if you think your money is being abused, I suggest you call the city council at 429-3550 and tell them stop harassing people for sleeping. You can also include in your message that you think they should pass at least the vehicular camping law, if not a complete law which allows for exemptions for people who sleep in their vehicles and establishes areas where people can legally sleep. I mean, this is a basic human rights issue.
I can break in go ahead, Mark. It's interesting that you bring up the camping ban because in the end result of the shelter, and you know when we talk about the outdoor shelter, exactly what does it shelter us from? One might ask. If you can't put up a tent or something, or if you can't cover yourself up, if you can't shelter yourself from the elements, then what exactly does it shelter you from? And I think you just nailed it on the head. It shelters you from the authorities. What it does, and it shelters you from the police and other things. And it's interesting that the city would establish practice whereby the police can enforce a regulation, and then at the same time it funds a campground that provides shelter from those very police. And it just seems a little bit of a ridiculous practice, don't you think, Robert?
Well, I myself have felt that the sleeping ban is totally preposterous and ludicrous, in fact, for years. But and I think a lot of people agree with me. We got thousands and thousands of signatures asking for a vehicular... Actually, we didn't even ask for a vehicular place to sleep, which I think is elementary, and people should have that. And I think, frankly, the courts, in spite of the Tobe decision, may eventually decide, as federal courts have in Miami in the Pottinger case, that it is a cruel and unusual punishment to arrest people for sleeping if there's no legal place to sleep. You cannot do that. That is, we know it's wrong. I think it's unconstitutional, and the courts may eventually agree with us. Even though the state courts don't, the federal courts are somewhat more militant on these issues, at least in some jurisdictions. You've been feeling left out after, Mark?
Well, I wanted to say that that even if the city does provide a location where people can sleep, I would suggest people go and see that. The judges would go and see that because the conditions may very well be a lot worse than someone can do on their own, say out in the forest or in their own van. And if they're forced to go to a place which has more rats than, you know, than a sewer running around it, then, you know, in a rolling sort of field sandwiched between, picture this, Highway 1, Highway 9, a cement plant and a gravel factory that runs sometimes 24 hours a day, and a welding factory. Those are the four neighbors of the River Street Shelter, which is the outdoor shelter project. So, you know, just imagine that. So when the city might say, oh, well, look what we've given the homeless, is this city or this campground for the homeless, and exactly where is that campground located, and did it in fact was it in fact a storage place for used oil once? And there was a study done on it, and the soil is toxic there. So in fact, and we've talked about having a garden there, and it's been decided that we can only grow flowers, because if we grew vegetables, they would be toxic, they would be inedible, because of the soil is so polluted. And so imagine sleeping on that, and imagine sleeping right next to, about 20 feet away from a speed limit sign that says 45 miles an hour. And people don't go 45 miles an hour there, they go around 90 sometimes, and, you know, around 45 to 90 miles an hour, people are driving right by your head. And, you know, that's what we have. That's what the homeless population has to look at as shelter from the police. And anybody in their right mind would know that you could make a better life for yourself would the police not wake you up in the middle of the night out in the forest or in a park or something like that, and tell you to go to the shelter. I mean, why don't you go there? You'd have a many, many reasons why you wouldn't go there, and if you've been there, why you didn't like it there. And, you know, there are lots of things. And I think the two go together, the camping ban and the shelter project. They do have some sort of similarities. You know, a lot of different angles that you can look at those two.
Mark, are you planning to do a show of your own?
Oh, well, I don't know. You know, I'd like to come on with you, Robert, and do some updates once and again. You know, every day, there are different sort of items that go on over at the shelter. And as in fact, that I wanted to say is that construction is occurring on several cement houses, really, is what they are. And these will house a lounge area and possibly a dining area, because as it is, people at the shelter project, they eat at the free meal. They eat outdoors and at the same spot, like right near the intersection of Highway 1 and Highway 9, and not a great dining area. And so there is construction, and it's supposed to last 2 months, maybe 3 months, in order to make this a bunch of cement bays suitable for people to go into. And they also have these showers, and they have many washers and dryers there. So that'll be a definite improvement. And there's talk in the emergency subcommittee that people eventually the Citizens Committee for the Homeless will be able to purchase, hopefully for a dollar or so, from the city, a number of other bays right on site there. And that what that would enable us to do is to have different rooms for people to do work and for people to lounge, and hopefully maybe a walk-up shelter, an indoor shelter, which isn't so close to the highway, you know, something a little further away. Get a little better sleep, maybe with some bunk beds, which are easily obtainable.
Well, I want to remind our listeners, if your ears are still intact there, that Mark can be reached through the emergency shelter subcommittee of the Above the Line Community Coalition at 457-9754. That's extension 264. That's 457-9754, extension 264. Is there another number you have, Mark, or is that a good number for you?
Yeah, that's probably the best number. And I'd encourage people to come down to the shelter and maybe ask around for me there at River Street and Coral Street and take a look at it for yourself and make your own decisions about it, and then maybe talk to the city council about it and talk to Paul Marceau. And you can get a lot more information. I'd be happy to answer your questions as well.
I'm hoping we can get you to do a regular talk show yourself here on the air, because I think you can bring guests in and interview them, people who would not normally have their voices, you know, on the air, and also people who wouldn't know about the show, but you would be able to let them know about it because you are out there. I think that might be good. In fact, you can sign up for that right here. And if anybody's listening, homeless or otherwise, who wants a show on this station, 89.3 FM, give me a call, again, not as an official rep, but as a contact person, at 423-4833. We'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you. Comments on this show are also welcome. Continuing with my a list of dates and calendar upcoming, 6 p.m., May 19th in Berkeley, is a memorial for activist Bob Sparks, longtime poverty fighter, longtime low-income guy at the head of every demonstration, courageously fighting the predatory policies of the University of California as it's attempted to extinguish public spaces for homeless and poverty people and move in yuppie city and essentially make the whole South Campus area its own preserve for the money-making corporate conglomerate the University of California has become. There'll be a march, a memorial for Bob Sparks in Berkeley. He died about a week ago, starting at Ho Chi Minh Park at 6 o'clock and marching to People's Park. That's going to be May 19th. And May 19th, I'm struggling to find a calendar around here. Let's see, today is the 12th. That's, I guess, a week from today. A week from today, Friday. And then on the same day, as I said, you may be able to see me at trial for sleeping outside. We did a demonstration in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, a speak out against the downtown ordinances on November 1st last year, and three of us are going to trial for it, or at least that's the date that has been set for the court trial. That's a trial before a judge, Judge Attic, and that may not happen because we may put it off a bit. I think our attorney is withdrawing, so we're going to try to defend ourselves. Then on Saturday, May 20th, the next day, that's a week from tomorrow, there will be a Community Consciousness Day in San Lorenzo Park. That's all day, speeches, shouting, singing, who knows, people may even sit down on the sidewalk, heaven forbid. And that's going to be all day at the Loudon Nelson Park on May 20th. And if you want more information about that, you can contact me at 423-4833. It's actually another number which I'll give you, which I don't have with me, which you'll be able to get through me. Then on May 27th, 2 weeks from tomorrow, there's a concert in San Lorenzo Park, 12 to 5 on Saturday, by a group that's going to be feeding people. It's not going to be Food Not Bombs. Apparently they feed and they also sing. It's a Saturday in San Lorenzo Park. That's 12 to 5 on May 27th. Then on May 30th, which I guess will be Tuesday, 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks from now on Tuesday, at 2:30 in City Council Chambers, San Lorenzo Park, which is now used for duck ponding and lying around and concerts. Well, the police department wants to take over half the park. They prefer to kick out the lawn bowlers and maybe the duck stage and set up a new police station there. And there's some of us who don't like it, and that's public hearings for that are coming up. Actually, a study session, not a public hearing, but shortly thereafter there'll be public hearings. That'll be May 30th, 2:30 p.m. in City Council Chambers. That's Tuesday, May 30th, 2:30 p.m. I believe that's Tuesday. It's May 30th anyway. You can check your calendar. And that night, the night of May 30th, there's also going to be a community policing get-together in Loudon Nelson Center. And community policing is frequently a synonym for snitch on your pals, unfortunately. It's not, insofar as people protect each other against predatory criminals, I'm all for that, but given the new role of the police in eliminating homeless people, visible homeless people from the downtown area, or let's say making it difficult for them to sit down, ask for spare change, and so forth, the clear favoritism of the police in favor of the merchant class in this matter just makes me suspicious of community policing, but you might be interested in it. That's Loudon Nelson Center in the evening, May 30th. So those are the announcements. Another brief announcement, actually. There's a mediation happening, or beginning to happen, or they're talking about it happening, whereby the city has funded two mediators to get together with downtown businesses and people affected by the downtown ordinances and try to work out mutual concerns without courts or cops, which I think is a great idea. And these mediators have been criticized for getting paid $10,000. And, you know, it is $10,000 is $10,000. But the fact is, they're pretty industrious. They're working pretty hard. They're actually working in foreign territory that they haven't really done before that I can see. And the people that they're trying to mediate on behalf of, poor people, excluded people, are a real hard and amorphous group to get a grip on. And so they are, it's been kind of slow. And they've been coming to the Cathcart and Pacific Food Not Bombs meals, which happen every Wednesday at 4. And they've been coming at 3 and talking to people and trying to kind of get people interested and involved. And I think that's good. I commend them for this. I don't regard them as sellouts. I think that their effectiveness has yet to be proven, but the amount of money they're being paid is actually considerably less than they would be earning if they were doing normal mediating type work. I mean, it's professional work and all that sort of thing. Not that I think that attorneys are properly paid hundreds of dollars an hour for what they do, and they're not getting paid hundreds of dollars an hour. But I think that what they're doing should not be dismissed. It should be viewed with a certain skepticism, but should also be viewed as an opportunity. And that's been my perspective on it thus far. And they'll be holding a meeting at Loudon Nelson Center, or at the park, I'm not sure which, but it'll be at Loudon Nelson. You can check both the bulletin board there and the park next to Loudon Nelson Center on May 25th, Thursday, between 9 and 11 in the morning. Those are the mediators, mediating the downtown ordinances and the downtown problems. Merchants have already agreed to mediate, and I would like to see a mediation structure set up whereby when an individual has a problem with a restaurant or cafe or downtown business, that instead of his being evicted forever or disturbing the peace, convictions or charges put against that person, that mediation be called in, that people talk to each other. It seems to make more sense to me. The self-regulating street performers code, which has operated for more than a decade in Santa Cruz, 15 years now, whereby there's no legal set of strictures, and that was made a part of the street performers agreement. Instead, people just agree to kind of talk to each other and show some respect for each other and try to use a little peer pressure there. So you play for an hour, and if the merchant's going crazy with the song and asks you to move along after an hour, you try and do it. But there's no law that says you have to. It's just kind of a common agreement. And I think that's a much better approach than using the force of law and guns and fear and uniforms and badges to get things done. It's Mark. He's back in the studio. He's been excluded. He's been wandering around here. Got something else you want to talk about? Don't go away. I'm almost finished here on the air. Are we recording this? Are we good?
Yeah, it's going.
Okay. Do you know, as I'm keeping a tape of this for all you people who missed, you can actually probably get a tape of your own of this show. Think of that. In any case, you probably don't want a tape, but you may want to have comments. And if you have comments about Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, the show you're listening to, give a call to 423-4833. That's my phone, at least for the next 2 weeks until I get bounced out of my house, my room where I'm staying. Give me a call at 423-4833. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you're interested in going on a show of your own. And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, the radio station that is proud to say, fuck the FCC. Why? Because the FCC has been harassing free radio and is attempting to shut down free radio, not so much here as in Berkeley, where they've been making growling noises about large fines. But the same judge that threw out the anti-homeless ordinances, the same federal judge, Claudia Wilkins, has ruled that the FCC cannot have its way. And for the first time in history, the FCC's attempt to get a preliminary injunction to close down a free radio station was denied. And that came up yesterday or the day before again, and it was continued until July. So until July, at least, as far as I understand it, this station is fine, and so are the stations in San Francisco and Berkeley and sister stations in Salinas and Watsonville that are attempting to set up free radio para toda la Puebla, para todas personas, for all you Spanish-speaking folks. I don't speak Spanish, but I can occasionally pretend that I do. So, yes, Bathrobe Spear Broadsides. I've got to keep reminding myself where I am. Aha, here's the curfew laws. I just suddenly found them. Actually, that's really a subject for another time. Board of Supervisors is kicked to a criminal justice subcommittee. I'm not sure quite what it's called. Criminal Justice Council, requesting the council review the curfew ordinances in the county and, if appropriate, develop a uniform countywide curfew ordinance for proposed adoption to local jurisdictions. If you think that sucks big time, like I do, you should give a call to the Board of Supervisors. And each of you probably has a different supervisor. There are five of them in the county. I'm not sure which one yours is, but you don't have to be sure either. Just call 454-2200 or fax them, 454-3262, for all you upscale listeners, and let them know that you think curfews are for generals and not for civilian populations. I mean, there's concern about youth crime, but the way to deal with that is better youth services and changing the society at its roots. You don't want to lock people up with abusive parents or abusive households, have cops running around checking anybody who looks under 25, giving them more pretext to harass people on the streets. Curfews, generally, unless, you're in Sarajevo, are not such a hot idea, in my opinion. We're kind of nearing the end of the hour, although I can run over, and I probably will run over. I love to run my mouth on the air here. Got a poem for you from from Julia Vinaigrette, who I read you a poem from last week. Julia's a street poet and the bubble lady of Berkeley, they call her. She's been around for decades. She captures some of the most profound and delicate and rough-hewn feelings of people on the streets. And I'm going to give you another one of her poems. This one's called Street Dancer, and it's from her book, Blood Red Blues. He pretends to be mad so he can sneer. That's his usual gig. But when he dances, I watch the piano keys pushing into his side as his ribs push out. The drum beats on his head, and he puts down, putting everyone down, and races like an overloaded grocery cart down a dark alley trailing feathers and tinsel. He waves a broken crutch he doesn't need, crouching and leaping. One of his feet is trying to bite him. He has to get away from it. Hot day, hot music. The lips of the saxophone are so sweet, he hasn't a chance to be mean. He dances, and I like him fine until the music's over. That Street Dancer from Julia Vinaigrette's Blood Red Blues. Interestingly enough, there was a Dance on the Sidewalk, Go to Jail case that came up this week and was dismissed by the DA. It was the case of Jose, who I mentioned to you in the last broadcast. Jose, you may have seen, he's a Hispanic guy. He's got a speech defect, comes from a head injury where he sounds drunk. He has slurred speech, but he's not. He's just got that way of speaking. And you used to see him outside the Cafe Bene, where, or in that general area, down near the Java House. And he'd be dancing and kind of singing on the sidewalk his own way, his own approach to things. And he's, he's not your ordinary Santa Cruz citizen, but and Santa Cruz got a lot of different kinds of people. And he got into problems with the Cafe Bene people. And apparently, he claims they came out and threatened him on the sidewalk. They claim he harassed the staff and personnel. And again, this is a perfect situation for mediators instead of cops and courts. But since we don't have that kind of a system here, since we don't have a conflict resolution approach, instead we have a mayor who talks, well, I should say a former mayor, Scott Kennedy, who makes a big deal about what a great peacemaker he is and is currently in Vietnam, supposedly making peace. But he favors passing laws that make it illegal to beg, make it illegal not based on conflict resolution, but based on send folks to jail. So this great master of Gandhian techniques is using the put him in jail approach to poverty problems. I cannot strongly enough express my disgust for that particular approach, which you've heard before, because I've mentioned that on the air. And I was given one of these little downtown host calling cards here. Information office, 459-9486. These are the hosts funded by the Downtown Business Assessment District tax, which recently was passed again, I believe, for another year. I could be wrong about that. That was the latest city council meeting where some people who have downtown businesses didn't want their money going for these downtown hosts. In Berkeley, they're called guides. They are the eyes and ears of the police. And those aren't my words. Those are the words that are on the little statement that they put out. Quote, "We are not the police, but we can be the eyes and ears for them." And I've spoken to people that have been arrested as a consequence of contacts with the hosts, including Eric Marcus, the man who, first and only person that I've known who has been convicted under the new Kennedy, Rotkin, Matthews, sit on the sidewalk near a shop, go to jail law, which is currently in force in Santa Cruz, I keep informing you, and it's true. In any case, these hosts, which wear little green costumes and go around with a big grin on their face, smiling and so forth, these are just people trying to earn $6 an hour, and they're not bad people. But, I talked to one of them yesterday, about a week ago, and this guy told me, there must be a reason for these laws about sitting on the sidewalk and so forth and so on, this is the same kind of crap you'd get from any bureaucrat who's told to enforce an unreasonable law. I mean, it's my job kind of talk. It's more than it's my job talk. It's actual justification of the law, although he admitted that he felt there were some laws he didn't agree with. The question is, would he then not enforce those laws? No, because it's his job to enforce those laws. And that kind of excuse, while it certainly is plausible if you need the money to pay your rent, and I can appreciate that, It cuts no ice with me when you're talking about taking away people's rights. And the choice has to be made, a line is drawn, and unfortunately, they're on one side, and those of us who believe in basic rights for everybody downtown and access to public spaces, we are on the other side. So, the hosts. They have a little office next to the Del Mar Theater, where the cops hang out and have coffee, and that's what it is. It's a little cop shop on the mall. And they also perform other functions, like they talk to tourists, and they make it appear like a friendly place. But in here, as in Berkeley, they are informants for police around minor matters of so-called conduct. If we're talking about abusive conduct, I'm glad that people are concerned about abusive conduct, and I'm glad they're there. And I even have a word, a positive word for police when they deal with abusive situations. But I don't have much to say for these hosts generally, because they are funded by a tax on merchants in essentially a program that was concocted and is supported by the most reactionary merchants downtown who support these anti-homeless laws. And if I'm wrong on this, I challenge any merchant listening to give me a call at 423-HUFF to publicly discuss the issue. I'd be happy to provide mic space to anybody of a different point of view on this. I'd love to be able to discuss the issue and to let another person share their point of view, although frankly not without response from me. Police Review Board. If you want to file a complaint about police misconduct, give a call to 429-3262 during business hours, actually 9 to 1, Monday through Friday, and pick up a complaint form at their office at 915 Cedar Street. But then, equally important, give us a call. It's SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. It's a group I support also, at 475-2012, and tell them about your complaint, because while the Citizen Review Board is, it's important that they get complaints, and it's important that they act on them, their powers are so limited, and their process so interminably slow, and